Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome to the world of boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Captain Rusty. And believe it or not, we actually have Bill, the engineer, in the studio with us today.
Bill, is that the first time this year?
It is the first time this year.
It is the first time this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
They said it wouldn't happen. And I lost money on this bet because I bet that it wouldn't happen.
Well, Bill said Patrick's not going to be there, right? I said, correct. He goes, I'm in.
That is not true.
I think
Patrick,
that's what I'm going
to
tell him.
On the off chance that you listen to this show, that is not true. I asked if Patrick could be there.
No, you said you hate him.
That is not true at all.
You said you don't. You can't be on the same virtual vessel while he went, if he's on board.
You know that you say that.
Too many captains.
I actually,
only one captain for Bill the engineer, and that'd be Rusty.
I actually thought about Captain Patrick when I was in the shower yesterday morning.
Whoa, stop right there.
So if you need details on that.
No, we don't.
I have a blog.
Okay.
All right. Musings by Bill the engineer.
Oh, man, that was disturbing.
Yes.
Okay, so look, we got a lot of stuff to cover, especially with Rusty, because he hasn't been on the last couple of weeks, and a lot of stuff has been going on
with him. I've noticed he hasn't been around. I've been just sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting
and
on
finally,
Rusty.
Now you're here, and he's back. So he has updates for us on the Jacksonville Boat Show.
I saw the pictures.
Miami Boat Show. Yeah, you saw the pictures on the World of Boating Facebook page.
I saw pictures on the Jacksonville newspaper page.
Oh, well, that's right.
Well, how does that happen? It seems like I always end up there.
Slow
yes.
news day, I think is how that happens.
Yeah.
But regardless, congrats on that.
Yeah, they blocked out some of the numbers, so I couldn't tell exactly what your inmate number was. But
yeah, normally we just see him.
I still sent some smokes.
Post office, but he actually made the local paper.
That's nice.
That is good. So we're going to get to that, but you know, we have to navigate the latest boating news and information, and even stuff that might be slightly off course. And this
that doesn't
first
sound
story
like
kind of you know meanders off
okay.
in that direction. So.
All right.
Did you see the killer whales that can talk?
All right. I saw that it was posted that killer whales can talk.
You saw the post.
Yes.
And what, you didn't listen to the killer whale?
That's not talking.
What do you
that's
mean it's
making
not talking?
Sounds
no,
that
no,
sound
listen.
Like talking.
We actually have the audio tape. Here it is. These are killer whales at a marine park in some place.
Yes.
I don't know where.
Yeah.
But this
Blackfish did not come out soon enough.
No,
go on.
Here we go.
Hello. Hello? One, two, three. Bye-bye.
No, wait, the last part, what is this, bye-bye?
Okay, I think he farted.
I think he has a problem with, I think the killer whale has a problem with saying the number three. And also, he might have confused it with number two. Hey! But
those are just sounds. That's not talking.
No, it is.
It sounds.
I think the killer whale is slightly confused, though, because
I know what it sounds like when people aren't thinking and they're just making noise because I've been on radio with you for nigh on to 20 years.
I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, when he says bye-bye, you know, it sounds like Nelson from The Simpsons. Ha ha! You know what I mean? That's what it sounded like to me.
Okay, that's not talking.
I think the killer
whale, speak English.
Exactly. They speak
it could have been Japanese. It could have been Japanese.
It was the first time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it, you know, it just happens that way. You know, they're wacky, but they can speak.
No, and they cannot.
What do you mean, no,
that
they
is
cannot?
Not.
That was proof that they
there's
the killer
a thousand
whale.
Things that might be. Speaking is zero of them.
I'm just telling you, if you're out on your boat and you start hearing voices, now you may know where those voices are coming from. It could be the killer whales. You don't think so?
No.
Why? Come on.
No, it is as likely that the noise you hear is a walrus farting as it is a killer whale talking.
See?
Sound like Flipper.
It does. Well, they're part of the same family, the dolphins and the killer whales.
Yes.
All right, so...
Well, I'm glad we led off with our A material. That's important. It's important that we start off with the best possible material right out of the gate.
I'm just saying, when you hear voices and you've been at sea too long, just know you may not be going crazy.
But you probably are.
Well, you probably are.
I mean, honestly. Now, Rusty, what is the longest sea voyage you have ever been on? What's the longest time you have been away from land? Is it when you went to the Bahamas?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
That was it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, because I've never done like a cruise.
Yeah.
So, especially, it would have been about 2.5 hours.
So you'd never even done a cruise?
No.
Oh.
Well, see, you know, the problem with Rusty is he can't get away from land even when he's trying to.
He just keeps hitting it.
Yeah. Because he's had some issues.
He's had some issues, yes. But, okay, well, the reason I ask is because I do think that there's the chance if you're, you know, 5, 6, 7, 9, 15, 20 days out on the water, especially if you're by yourself on a boat, that you might start going a little wacky and start talking to the orca when they come up. I mean, I think that might happen. But it hasn't happened to Rusty.
No, it never happens to me.
Yeah.
Not even in that 2.5 hours?
No. Well, it's getting close.
Maybe on the way back?
Yeah. It got to be long. So, but I'm good. You know, it was fun. I'd do it again.
Okay.
Well, how long do you think it'd take at sea, to be stranded at sea before you started?
Well, I mean, I think it's different if you're stranded or if you're just going somewhere. I mean, it takes a while to get across large expanses of ocean. If you're not island hopping, it takes a while. I mean, if you're going to go to the Bahamas and then go island to island to island to island, then you're only going to be a couple of hours away from land all the time. And you can do that in the Caribbean. But if you're going from Dominica to the Azores, it's going to be a couple of days. You're going to be spending some time out on the water, and you're not necessarily abandoned. You're not shipwrecked. You're not. You have not run afloat. You are sailing. You are doing the thing which you're doing with no necessary destination in view. You're just sailing. You're just moving along, country roads with your baby.
That would be, you know, a very relaxing experience, wouldn't it?
Unless you go crazy.
Unless you go crazy and you start hearing things.
Right.
And you start blaming that on the killer whale.
Or the seagulls. Or the albatross.
Because there's no dog on the boat.
Right.
But
those guys that row across the ocean, those guys, those lunatics.
Yeah.
They got to be hearing something besides just their neck cracking. That's what I would sound like. If I was rowing across the ocean, all you would hear would be my shoulders going.
It would get a little old.
Yes, it would.
I think.
It's already old, and I haven't even done it once.
Yeah.
Haven't actually pulled. Oh, jeez.
But, you know, a lot of people look at that as the ultimate experience to get away from it all.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just go into solitary confinement.
Right.
You know, lock yourself in a box, for a couple days. Is that the same experience?
I might sail across Lake Virginia.
The view would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, does the view do it for you as far as, keeping you from going over the edge as far as going crazy?
I would think. I would think
but then
the view,
again, I don't I know, mean, Tom Hanks in Castaway, you know, next thing he's talking to a friggin' volleyball.
Yeah, he was.
After a few days, you know?
Okay, but he was alone.
Well, you would be alone on your boat. That's what I'm saying.
A plane crash. 1 minute, he is on an airplane doing the thing which airplanes are supposed to do, which is stay in the sky. And the next minute, everyone who he knew a minute ago is not there, and he is by himself.
Okay.
With just a volleyball and packages to deliver.
Okay, so
but
he
no
was,
razors.
There was a little trauma involved, possibly.
Yes.
I got it. But still, after a certain amount of time, I think it could happen to anybody. And you hear those stories of solo sailors going crazy.
Right.
You know? You
I would think that it wouldn't take very long for me to go crazy. but I'm treacherously close like every single minute anyway.
Exactly. He doesn't even have to be by himself.
Sometimes
to go
a long walk in a parking lot is enough to drive me over the edge.
Just being here.
Yes.
Ask Captain Patrick. Okay.
All right.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. So
we did.
So that's our A material. This is the stuff you tuned in for, folks. Excellent news.
I'm not sure it rates.
Do you know what I've been doing since the last time we spoke?
Yeah.
Almost exclusively watching curling video, so I'd be ready for this year's Olympics because it's just started.
Perfect show prep for the world of boating.
Yes,
Bill. Thank
curling.
You.
Okay. Well, when there's the Summer Olympics, I'll watch yacht racing. But there is no yacht racing in the Winter Olympics.
Is there any boating activities for?
No, there's skating.
Oh, hey, bobsled. That's a sled. It's not a boat.
No, it's got some boat terminology, though,
okay,
I think.
There you go.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Listen up. The ship is sinking. Okay? We're going down right now. Just wrap your heads around the reality of that. In 5 minutes, this ship is going to be at the bottom of the lake. And there aren't enough spaces on the lifeboat. Who are we going to save?
Who's going to fix this ship? We got the ship we're in. Who's going to fix this ship? Who's going to fix this ship?
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that's me, along with Bill the Engineer and Captain Rusty, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information.
I probably should have asked this question during the pre-show meeting.
Okay.
But I didn't. That bit you just played.
Yeah.
What is that from?
The
talking part before, because I swear to God, it sounds like it's me.
That would be from The Office.
I'm not on The Office. How did they manage to get me?
I thought you were.
No.
Wasn't there an engineer in The Office?
There might have been.
I believe
there's a bald guy. I know there's a bald guy. It must have been me.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that. All right, so Captain Rusty has been very busy the last couple weeks.
Of course he has.
I have been.
Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks ago you had the Jacksonville Boat Show. So first, let's go there. How did that go?
So overall, the numbers for the show, believe it or not, was down by 171 people. However, our booth was probably the busiest it's ever been. It seemed like chaos.
Yeah.
We had plenty of people. The first year at our boat show, we sold no boats at the show, right? The second year at the boat show, we sold 3 boats at the show, you know, and several after. This time at the show, we sold 9.
Wow.
At the show. And we sold probably 6 or 7 this past week. So,
Wait. You sold 9 boats at the show itself?
At the show, yes.
And then another 6 this week?
Yes.
Ooh. That's a busy week.
It is.
That's a busy January.
He is rolling in the dough.
But is that an indicator? I mean, 171 people in the greater, grander scheme of things, one way or the other, going out to a boat show in Jacksonville doesn't seem like it's a huge number.
Well,
I mean, how many people come? Do 300 people come?
No, that's usually about, our average is about 6,000.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So, you know, it's not...
So around 6,000, give or take 200, but the people that came were more interested in buying boats, and that's a better thing.
They actually were, and that was the issue, is that people were there. They were there to buy boats for the most part, and actually the attendance, which was down, which was funny, was the comp tickets, you know, like where people would give tickets to people to come to the show.
So fewer people came for free.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. This is not a negative. Fewer people showing up to mooch off of the Jacksonville Boat Show is not a bad thing.
Well, when you get all these tire kickers that when they get in there, it's like, hey, there's no tires to kick.
They're just buying trailers anyway.
Yeah. Like, what the heck's wrong? Yeah. They kind of turn around and they leave dejected.
So, seriously, they sold the same or more tickets and fewer free?
Yes.
Then why would you lead with that information? Why would you lead by saying 172 fewer people showed up when the reality is that more people showed up, fewer mooches showed up?
More people paid, but yeah, we had less as far as the moocher side. But, you know,
to be fair, we all live on the moocher side of the economy.
Well, that's true.
I'll tell you, if it's like most shows, like most boat shows, there's a psychological component to this, and I think that's where you're going. Am I right, Rusty? That when you tell people that, yeah, we were off 172 people, and they're like, yeah, you know, traffic was down a little bit. Oh, we sold a lot of boats, but there's this negativity element to it whenever you say the numbers are off. Did you get a little bit of that too, maybe? Or from some people that didn't sell as many boats as you?
You know, and I don't, of course, boat dealers lie for the most part. They will never tell you how many boats they really sold.
Hey, a boat owner is just one step away from a fisherman. Let's be real.
That's true. And so, you know, these guys, so I never really know, except for a few close friends, of how many boats people, how many they really sold. I think we did extremely well. We reached a point where we're in the league with the big boys now. I'm confident of that. So, you know, we sell with the others, and we definitely carved out a niche for who we are in the marine industry, which is something we wanted to. Everybody else in Jacksonville, as you've heard me talk about, sells fishing boats. And we sell more of deck boats, bow riders, those sort of things. And if you were to walk in our show, 90% of it's going to be center console fishing boats. Mm-hmm. And which is nice. It can set us apart. Somebody comes back and they go, well, they have this boat over there for this that I can fish on. I go, if you're going to fish, this isn't a boat you want to buy. This isn't a fishing boat. You know, you can look like you want to fish, but don't buy it. Go buy one of their boats. So it gave us the ability to be able to set ourselves apart. And the Bennington pontoon sales has been incredible. Stingray boat sales has been incredible. I didn't sell any Chris Crafts at the show, but I usually don't expect to. That's more like a dating relationship sort of thing that goes on for several months.
There's a little more foreplay involved.
It is. Yeah. But before you hit the home run, you gotta hang out with those guys for a while.
You gotta play hard to get a little bit.
You do. And you know, and people come in and they'll go, well, I can buy a pursuit
hold on.
Yes.
I am trying to imagine either one of you playing hard to get. I can see Greg playing you don't want to get me. But I can't see him playing hard to get.
Mm. I have nothing. I got nothing to reply to.
I will get to the place where, and it's not necessarily hard to get. It's the aspect of going, I'll let them know they're not comparing. You know, the guy will come in and goes, well, I can buy a Pursuit for $40,000 or less. And I'll go, but it's not a Chris-Craft.
Right.
I mean, it isn't. So if you want to buy that boat, then please go buy the boat.
If you'll be happy. If you want to be happy with that much less of a boat, pay less for it. If you wouldn't be happy unless you had a boat as great as this boat, then you're going to have to pay for this boat. And we're sorry about that, but it's totally up to you whether or not you want to settle or not.
Sure.
If you want to be a loser, buy this boat. If you want to play with the big boys, come talk to me.
And it will. Now, here's an issue that's with every show. And this year, it was magnified, I think, because of the amount of people.
There were too many women in skimpy clothing. That was a problem.
Never a problem. Okay. That's just never happened.
The problem is, and this is, I think, an industry thing. So we promote the boat show as a family event, right? So we, even in our show, we give away fishing rods to the kids, life jackets to the first 100. We have fishing clinics for the children and all that stuff. And where do the children go when it's over? They go to the playground where all the boats are. And literally, parents would take their kids and go set them on like a $300,000 boat and go play with that one. And
hey,
they'll stand down there and let them go play.
The rails on this boat are like monkey bars.
They will use the restrooms in the boat. They take the things, you know, the shifter throttle and stuff like that, just up and down. They mash every button on the boat. It's just, you know, we didn't lose a lot of things, but there's a few things because I had it staged with some Tommy Bahama stuff. So, you know, it's hard. You don't want to know, should I limit them, children from coming on the boat or one?
Ban them. No kids allowed. That'll go over great.
It's tough. It's tough.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Bill the engineer, also Captain Rusty rounding out the crew today. And we just found out that at the Jacksonville Boat Show, Captain Rusty has decided kids are evil.
That's not exactly what he said. But what he did say is, this is a realistic issue, I think, that you can't market to families and not expect kids to come, but kids should not be a part of the boat buying process.
Hold on. I disagree. This is just a zoning issue. You had the boat set up by the playground. All the kids went nuts and looked at the boats as another thing they could climb on. What you have to do is start putting up signs that say something to the effect that this boat is possessed by the pirate of Blackbeard or something.
That's not going to keep them away.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That's going to make them cooler. That's going to make it cooler.
No, well, maybe to the teens, to the tweens.
Yeah.
But it's the little ones you got to worry about, right, Rusty?
The little ones aren't stealing T-shirts from Tommy Bahama.
It's really one of those things to where when you're... And I get it. They want kids to love the water and love boating and get them in there, you know, to be a part and understand how important it is. That's great. And the issue's really not the kids. The issue's really the parents who use it just to set them on the boat. Parents aren't interested in the boat. They're not going to buy the boat. They'll just take the kid from one boat to the other. And literally, we even had parents who would come, and I know two different occasions where the parents were so intoxicated, they just didn't even know where the kid was.
Huh.
And it's just amazing to watch these people.
Was I at this boat show?
Hey.
It's really odd to watch how some of these people do it. So, I mean, we're thinking about aspect of maybe going no unaccompanied children, or that's one way, or the other thing is to keep a person on each of, especially the Chris-Crafts, keep, you know, a salesman on each boat the whole time just to monitor it, you know, make sure nothing's happening.
I'm telling you, signs posted all over says unaccompanied children will be eaten.
Or you put up a sign saying now hiring underaged galley rats.
Huh. Okay. There's an alternative.
And then you just stow them in a small compartment on the boat till their parents come and pay to have them released.
Rusty didn't consult us before this.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
You guys, where's Haley?
She is on a boat in the marina, putting you in her rear view mirror. Boats have those, don't they?
Come on down to my boat, baby. Come on down where we can play. Come on down to my boat, baby. Come on down, we'll sail away.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that's me, Bill the Engineer, and also Captain Rusty. All right, so I don't know. That's probably a problem with extraneous kids running around the boat show and creating havoc and parents not watching out for them. I mean, you know, that could happen for any event.
It could happen for any event, but every event doesn't have $250,000 boats just sitting there for them to climb around on.
True.
You know, it's one thing if you're running through the T-shirt display. It's another thing if you're running on a boat that costs $150,000.
So,
am I missing the point there?
No, you're exactly right. And just to mention, to think about the liability. Some of these boats, especially the bigger boats, are a long way off the ground. You know, they're trying to climb or go from one boat to the other. So that in itself is dangerous. And I've heard some other dealers talk and say, if we as an association would just make a statement or all have the same rule that, this is what it is. That way it wouldn't look like one dealer was the bad guy, right. The kids can't play in our space. And, it can be
because, dealer wants that. No dealer wants kids on their boat.
No, they don't.
Even the Boston Whaler people, and they'll cut their damn boats in half. Nobody wants kids on their boat.
I'm telling you, you hire a wandering pirate. He's dressed up like Jack Sparrow, so everybody thinks, Oh, look, it's Jack Sparrow. But when the parents look away, he looks at the kids like, I'm going to eat you. Something like scared but Jesus out of them.
Not dressed like Jack Sparrow. Dressed like the guy who can take his eye out with a fork.
Okay, that guy. That might even be better.
That might definitely be better.
Okay, well, other than that little burp, yes. I mean, it sounds like you were successful.
It was a good show. Yeah. I mean, and we're really... really busy because right now we're trying to deliver boats. Tomorrow I have two guys going to be taking two of our boats to Miami for the Chris Craft display, and then they'll come back, and then we will be at the Orlando Boat Show, and we'll be here. We'll have an event that we do every March. It's kind of starting our fourth year, and then in May we have our in-water boat show. So, and then we're into summer, so it's really... it's busy, but it's great, and it's fun, and I'm having the time of my life, no question.
Excellent. Well,
good times.
Rusty wasn't here last week, but Patrick was, and not to be one who would ever misquote Patrick, but he did say last week he sees some problems on the horizon because, the economy's doing great, the boats are selling like crazy, but we don't have enough boats. We can't make them fast enough.
No, and that's
the best situation to
be in. That's what I told him. But he said, no, this is terrible.
No.
Actually, what he's saying is, and it's not just the boat. So here's what I see all the way across. One is that they can't make the boats, and especially the company he works for, because I've been trying to sell his boats for a while. And, and the issue really comes down to they just can't deliver them, just like Bennington. We can only give us so many boats and no more, and everybody's kind of at space. I ran into this problem this week, too, where they'll call and they'll say, you have a Yamaha 250 engine ordered, a B-Max 250, and we don't have any coming in anytime soon. And so can you switch it to a different type motor? I have a 175 Yamaha that's been on back order now for 3 months with a boat sitting out there. So, these are just... it's starting to affect, all this popularity. So maybe it'll raise the price. Who knows? Supply and demand, right?
Well, you would think. But let me get this straight. Patrick isn't here, and you're agreeing with him.
I am. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be interesting of when people want to order, because it will happen soon enough. People want to order like a Bennington pontoon, and it's going to be 2019. Or, you know, at least that model year, which will be September before they'll even get their boat. So
yeah, and then the, well, by then they'll be sobered up and realize they made a mistake.
Well, now, or and this is the real issue.
Yeah.
By the time production can ramp up, what happens if the economy's not still doing as well?
See, and I think that's where that's where the problem be, because I can see it in our side. So we look at it from this standpoint. We're going, okay, so let's buy more boats next year, right? So we have boats, and we bought a bunch this year. So next year we even buy more. And then if the economy does go through a downturn at some point, like it did in 2007, then we're sitting on a whole bunch of boats.
And
that's
makes it
why
harder.
people don't survive, you know,
right.
As far as the dealerships. And most of them went under, and the floor plans have to start calling back. So you're looking for that way to how to be recession-proof. And that's one of the things we're looking for. And what can go along with a boat dealership with the rentals to make it recession-proof? And I think the marina side is a good alternative. A dry stack is a good alternative because people who have the boat still have to keep them somewhere.
Hey, forget that. If you run into that situation, just open up the dealership and call it the newest playground on the block. Bring your kids.
And then you hold the kids for ransom.
That's right.
Because you'd have to have another source of income.
That's true. That'd work. You got to do something. So, you know, it would be fun. I mean, you know, I could
call it One-Eyed Pete's.
Good. Then you could do the whole pirate thing that Greg wanted to do.
Yeah.
There it is. Well, hey, come by One-Eyed Pete's Playground.
Oh, that's crazy.
You can come and you can run on all the boats, and then we'll see where we find you.
Okay, just stop.
If we find you.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, you could take that advice or try to find that sweet spot, which I think is what you really got to know.
Right.
Is just, you know, how many boats you got to buy and not go overboard, I guess, literally, right?
That is what you want to do. You know, or either be financially able, if you were financially able, not to floor plan your boats and just, you know, have the cash to cover them, then you're good. But when you're talking about $4 million, $5 million in floor plan, then that's tough.
Well, and I think that one of the things, and this is probably the hardest thing to do in any business, and it's hardest to do the first time it becomes an issue, is not being so committed to growth that you sacrifice the safety of having just enough that you don't have a lot at risk if things don't continue to improve.
The sweet spot. You got to find the sweet spot in that regard, right?
Well, with boating, I think it's called the wet spot.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
This is a guy who wanted to have a pirate around a bunch of kids.
Hey. Come, right. Kids.
So you sold a lot of boats. I mean,
here in the closet.
Overall vibe, though, of the Jacksonville Boat Show, was that shared by the other dealers, too?
Yeah, or? It was. And everybody, we had a meeting last night, and everybody was very pleased with the show. Yeah. They thought that, you know, no complaints, and usually somebody always complains.
Question, though. Yeah. And, yes. And this is I think it's a fair question, and it gives us a better sense of how this meeting went. What were you drinking at the meeting? Was it beer? Was it rum? What was drunk at the meeting?
It should have been rum. They're boaters.
It was just regular. It was Coke, Diet Coke. No, nothing special.
What the hell is wrong with Jacksonville?
We're boating. You're just talking about boating.
Boat ownership. No martinis. Nothing. No rum runners.
No,
nothing.
No. Nothing.
This is what's wrong with America.
It seems to be.
Huh.
Okay. Legitimate business people having a legitimate business meeting and everyone's sober?
Well, what would they...
How do you expect to make money that way?
Other than providing booze at the next boating meeting, what did you guys discuss as far as like, okay, this is what we got to do next year differently? I mean, other than the kid thing.
Mainly it was the kid thing. Mainly it was the kid thing.
Yeah.
The kid thing was one thing. The other thing which was interesting is that they try to stagger the hours so they don't pay people, you know, like the convention employees. So that's like Sunday or Saturday, they open at 10. Sunday, they open at 11. And somebody made a mistake. We're not sure who, but publicized the time on Sunday at 10 instead of 11. So
it was me. One-Eyed
Pete. There was a crowd of people. who was
bring
very upset.
Bring the kids down at 10 a.m. every Sunday to One-Eyed Pete's special invitation-only boat show in Jacksonville.
Hmm.
Bring the kiddies.
They weren't happy, so yes.
Hmm.
If you don't, you'll poke your eye out.
But staggering them like that does what? Just save your money?
It does. You know, Sunday's always a slow day, so they just thought, well, and so next year we're going to just do the same time every morning that we open with.
Yeah, keep it.
You know, the evenings
simple.
People fan out and disappear, but which is fine. You don't have to stay up till 9 or 10 because you kind of know after 6 or so they kind of go to supper or somewhere else.
Right. Get the hell out of here. We know you're not buying
get
your tire kickers.
Dodge.
You see any tires here? No. Now get the hell out. Unless you're going to buy a boat.
Or a trailer.
And a pirate's going to eat your kids.
Come by One-Eyed Pete's.
All right, let's look to the future. And maybe the Miami International Boat Show. Not far away. That's next on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info, whether you're into diving or not. See for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Hey, Stewie. If I'm such a moron, then how did I get on a fancy boat? See you later, douchebags!
Oh, crap! Chris is on the Titanic?
Well, gonna rock the boat. Gonna slam a jam with a brand new note. Banging my head like a billy goat. Gonna rock the boat. Gonna grab a jug, have me a sip. Gonna dance a jig until my backbone slip. Jump on in and see if you float. Gonna rock, gonna rock, gonna rock the boat.
This is the World of Boating, Greg, your first mate, Billy Engineer, and Captain Rusty rounding out the crew. All right, so Jacksonville Boat Show was very successful for Captain Rusty. And here we are just a couple weeks away from the Miami International Boat Show, the Super Bowl of Boat Shows.
The Super Bowl of Boat Shows. With this year, the theme is, and they have a theme every year, this year the theme is, Don't Make Me Pull Out the One-Eyed Pete.
Huh. I didn't hear that.
You know, you mentioned Super Bowl, so I'm just trying to keep it in theme. Because I know some numbers about the Miami Boat Show, and it has an $854 million economic impact, which is more than 2.5 Super Bowls.
What?
The impact of Miami Boat Show is more than 2.5 Super Bowls.
Who's doing this math?
Miami Boat Show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it is a longer thing. The Super Bowl is just one day. People come in for a weekend for the Super Bowl. So the Miami Boat Show is a longer thing. And then there's more of the parking fees.
Maybe. But they say they have 6,000 full-time jobs. They do 53
That's a
million.
Lie. Hold on. That is a lie.
6,000 jobs?
6,000 full-time jobs?
What they say. I don't know who they're counting.
I mean, how is anything that happens for one weekend a year a full-time? I can understand that you might be able to have a staff of 20 people.
What?
You might have an office staff that manages a boat show that possibly.
No, wait. Talking about security, parking.
But those aren't full-time jobs.
Look at the wording. It says supports.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the local restaurant and the infrastructure and everything.
Interesting how
these numbers are garbage.
I know.
I like the Miami International Boat Show, and I think it is a great big deal. And I do think it has an economic impact, but these numbers are trash.
I don't know.
These numbers are rubbish. If you're going to say 6,000 full-time jobs for something that happens one weekend a year, I don't believe that there are 10 people that have a full-time job.
So it's almost a whole week.
There are not 10 people that have a full-time job out of the Miami Boat Show.
Well, it depends.
There are
once
not
again.
10 people that have a full-time job because of the Miami International Boat Show. Not 10.
Well, he said
and they're
support.
Saying 6,000.
Well, he's saying support.
Support. So the guy who works at the parking lot has a full-time job working at the parking lot, he's supported for this 5 days.
Well, he is.
Economic impact study. That's what they're probably talking about.
This is an economic impact.
Yeah. And there's one guy who makes an economic impact study. So there's now 11 people that have full-time gigs.
And he's paid a lot of money.
So they make 53 million from out-of-town travelers, impact from out-of-town travelers, and $36 billion U.S. industry.
You can't say billion. You did not say billion.
$36 billion for the U.S. industry.
What?
Well, you're talking about all the manufacturers? I mean, heck, a couple billion for some of them super yachts, Bill. Mm-hmm. Come on. Crazy.
Are they selling super yachts because of the Miami International Boat Show? Nobody who's buying a super yacht is actually buying it.
You haven't been there.
The Miami International Boat Show, and I have been there.
Not the new location.
Which is the old location.
You know, it's pretty swanky. There's a lot of money being exchanged.
Pretty swanky.
Yeah.
For a place which was covered in graffiti for 20 years. It's fantastic.
Well,
I love going.
It is. It's
gotten
better.
That it's not great. I'm not saying that it's not great, and I'm not saying that it's not a big deal, but these numbers have a tremendous amount of fecal material on them. Someone has pulled them out of a buttocks.
So where were you going with this, Rusty, before
before I did my Gail Patrick routine?
Yeah.
So I was just giving you some numbers, like, for example, 1,100 exhibitors will be at the boat show. That you have 1 million square feet of exhibit space, more than 100,000 attendees from 35 countries, 700 boats in the water, and 700 boats on the land. So you got 1,400 boats all total. I mean, you know, it is a big show.
Good job with the math.
Yeah, thank you. It had it underneath, so I just read it. They're actually, which I thought was an interesting statistic that they threw in here, that they will have over 150 food beverages options.
Well, that's a good deal. I mean, if you have that many people, you have to have some choices.
Oh, yeah.
But 150 is a lot. That's a good deal.
That is a lot. That's a lot of chicken strips.
It's not all chicken strips. That's the whole thing. It's
beverages.
Not all chicken strips.
Oh, food and beverage?
150 food and beverage options.
Well, I was going to say, to one of those bars that have 100 different beers.
Yeah, actually, you know what? If you get one of those Coke Freestyle machines, I think that's got 150
there. Good point.
It probably does.
So they got one of them at the Miami Boat Show.
And now they support everybody at Pepsi, so that's another 6,000 jobs.
You wondered who paid for Justin Timberlake's halftime show.
There it is. Now we know.
Now we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an impressive thing. If you've never been to the Miami International Boat Show, I personally would highly recommend it. It's a spectacle.
Nice wide aisles.
Well, it is now because it's nice and spread out there at Key Biscayne, you know, the park there now.
Right.
Yeah.
Miami Maritime.
Yeah, got all those outdoor tents and stuff. It's way different than it was, you know, 4 years ago.
Right.
Way better. Despite what Captain Patrick says.
And what the people that live on the other side of the
causeway
screw
them.
You know. Rat bitch bastards.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
All right.
We got 6,000 jobs to support here.
That's right. We got to get Pirate Pete. What's his name?
Oh. One-Eyed Pete.
We got to get One-Eyed Pete a gig.
Come on down to One-Eyed Pete's. Bring the kitties.
Oh, boy. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Don't touch me with that.
Here, you barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.